Master Buddy. We welcome you in here tonight. With us, the two, the Shepherd's Call, and you know we're glad to have you in here tonight simply because Yahweh is a strong tower and the great and the most magnificent and magnanimous name is being declared to you tonight on behalf of all those who love His name. And His name is a wonderful counselor. It will instruct you in the nighttime. It will keep you going. It will raise you up in the middle of the night to honor and praise and to glorify Him. Part two tonight, call a friend and tell them that part two of the coming kingdom is on the air tonight. We're going to go into some more of the teaching of the aspects of the kingdom. Now, we talked to you in part one about the kingdom of God, and then we talked to you about the kingdom of heaven, the two different kingdoms. Now, we described one of those as being in you, and one of those are future tense, which is to come. Now, we know in describing the kingdom was set up, the kingdom of heaven. It came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost and was set up in men's hearts in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20. It says, the kingdom of heaven cometh not with observation, or the kingdom of God. Both of them interchangeably, because they are His kingdom, and yet Yahweh will not interchangeably let His kingdom rule on earth as long as man's kingdom in defiance, in direct opposition, in other words, the kingdom of Babylon, has always been an enemy. We're going to talk about that tonight. Well, we're starting tonight in St. John's Gospel 18, verse 36. Now, get your friend and your neighbor, call them, tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on the air. Get your pen and paper because we're going to go into an in-depth study part two of the coming kingdom. Now, would you want the kingdom to come right now? Are you ready? Are you ready for Him to come out of the heavens and split the sky, let it roll back like a scroll, to be changed instantly in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and to assume your proper place, wherever it may be? It may be that you are to be destroyed, or it may be that you are given a new body likened unto His glorious body. But the Bible said the main thing is, be you also ready. Be prepared. Now, is His kingdom a conflicting kingdom with the world? Well, light and darkness has no fellowship, that's for sure. And bitter water and sweet water has no accord, and that's for sure. And you can't mix them both. You can't be hot or lukewarm, or either you make it cold or hot. You can't be lukewarm. So there's no middle ground here for you to jump on the bandwagon of whichever bandwagon comes to town. You've got to prove your worthiness. Salt has to prove itself. Unless it's worthy, then it's cast out as an unworthy salt to be trampled. And that's exactly what the Bible describes the rebellious people upon the earth. He says that they will be dust under the feet of the righteous, and that the righteous will inherit the earth. So we're not going nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. All we're going to do is possess the kingdom. Now, those that have gone on will not prevent them that remain on earth, physical earth, because they're going to be changed. And those that come back with Him, and He said that they would come back with Him when He comes in His kingdom. Now, we're going to describe His kingdom is not out of this world. The Messiah said that in John 18:36. So you need to know that his kingdom is not of this world. In Colossians 1:13, it says, the Messiah has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a wondrous respect for the light that I'm walking in. I'm very appreciative to my Heavenly Father to, number one, take the tradition away from me. Number two, take the blinders off of me. And number three, to give me insight to the real truth. And number four, give me the wisdom and the intellect to rightly divide the scriptures and understand what I'm reading, because a lot of people don't have that luxury of knowing and caring and pursuing the truth. Now, David said, my heart has pursued your spirit, Father, like the deer that is chased by the hounds, that is running for the to get to cross the brook and to quench his thirst, as it runs fleeing the hounds of hell. Well, you know, you in a sense you're like that. I really appreciate that he's delivered me from the power of darkness. I don't have to guess. I don't have to wonder. I know who he is. I know that he's one. I know that baptism is in the divine name. I know what that name is. Oh, what a power to get out of this darkness, the sin right way, the things that seem right, into the way that is right. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to be alone. I'm willing to be mocked. I'm willing to be abused. I'm willing to take insults, and I get them quite often. People write me and tell me how wrong I am. I have a lot of people write me and tell how right I am. So it makes you feel good when you get one letter to lift you up and encourage you, as opposed to the many letters that you get that don't understand you or can't see, or they're not out of darkness. Yahweh has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's transformed us into the kingdom of his Son. And we have redemption in him through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:13. Isn't that wonderful? You know, just the aspect that to be delivered from the power of darkness, to be free, not to have to wonder, not to have to guess. You know, I was so apprehensive when I was in a denominational system. Something was lacking. I didn't have, there was things that just didn't add up. And this church, you can't tell them from the world. Did you know that the Bible said that friendship with the world is enmity to God, according to James 4:4? Now let me repeat that. Friendship. Well, if you go up to the local Bellbox church, you see all those people that you see in the world. They're in business. They're out for an almighty dollar. They'll rip you from stem to stern 6 days a week, but on Sunday they'll show up, if they're Sunday worshipers, they'll show up in church on Sunday and they'll sing Praise Yahweh or Hallelujah or whatever they do, and then go right back to the world because they're friends of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get in Yahweh, you're going to be transformed. And the friendship will no longer be of the world, but it will be enmity. You're going to understand that was your enemy. The very people that's promising you liberty are the servants of corruption. And you'll escape that. It's wonderful that you're delivered from the power of that darkness, the tradition that mom and dad brought you up in, haphazardly taking a guess whether you're right or wrong. In this sense, when you know who he is, when you know what his name is, when you know what name to get baptized in, when you know the right day to worship on. Now, what about those Saturday worship, Pastor Buddy? You've been giving them a lot of flack. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. When you hear these Seventh-day Adventists get up and ramble around in the Scriptures and misquote them, or for that matter, won't quote them at all but promise you they're going to, and never deliver, and we're willing to debate any Seventh-day Adventist in the land that believes that the Gregorian calendar has identified Saturday as the seventh day and that's the correct timeline. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I've got oceanfront property for you down in Arizona. It just don't happen. And let's say that you're solar and you pick out the day of the equinox, of the spring equinox, and you start that day, and you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you get into that mode. Well, remember, that works for the first month, but the second month it rotates and you're off a day and you're out of sequence. And that's just the marvelous way this thing works, because in the lunar application, letting the light in heaven, see, in 1:14 Genesis it talks about the light in heaven. And he talks about the wonderful application of letting that be a beacon or a signal for times and for season. And man throws that away and runs to a Gregorian calendar. I can't understand it. That ain't Yahweh. The Gregorian calendar that you put up on your walls that says Saturday is the Sabbath or the seventh day. And for you Seventh-day Adventists that advocate that the seventh day is on Saturday according to the Gregorian, and that that's the time piece that man has kept since immortal time, you got another thing coming. You're in for a surprise when you come up against a knowledgeable lunar Sabbath preacher. And I happen to be one. I know of others that's better at revelating the Sabbath than I am. But I guarantee you one thing. There ain't nobody in this land that's flipped the pages and done any more homework than I have. I have done my homework, and I have got in and dug out to come out of the darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom. Now, what kingdom? The kingdom of the world? Well, enmity of the friendship of the world is enmity. You got to get a little bit deeper than a Gregorian calendar to get your understanding to quicken you. But listen to this. But God, which is rich in mercy because of his great love which he hath loved us, even before the foundation of the world, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together by the Messiah. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Now, where in the world could you sit together in heavenly places with the Father if you loved the world, if you were conformed to the world, if you were in darkness? The Bible says if you say you have the light and you sit in darkness, and somebody that's got knowledge knows that, and you tell me that you've got the truth and you're against the truth, then I know better. When you come out blazing with your guns, shooting off of your little pop gun, with saying that Saturday is the Sabbath, you've got a problem here. Because you're basing that on the Gregorian calendar. And let me tell you, in the ages to come, when we're in these heavenly places, we might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in the Messiah, as it's recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 7, when you really love Yahweh. Did Yahweh keep a lunar Sabbath? Yes, he did. Did the ancient Israelites keep a lunar Sabbath? Yes, they did. Well, when did we get away from it, Pastor Buddy? Well, exactly according to Daniel 7:25, there would come a group of people into the world, and that they would think to change Yahweh's correct time. Did they keep the new moon, Pastor Buddy? did the house of Israel. Now, I ain't talking about Jews. I'm talking about the whole incorporated house of Israel called Hebrews. I'm not specifically going to 1/13th equation and saying, well, the Jews, they don't keep the new moon no more. Well, I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm talking about the house of Israel and the covenant and the principles that Yahweh laid down to those who would desire not to be friends of the world, but those who are delivered from the power of darkness that have been conveyed into the kingdom. I know a kingdom person. I can tell you exactly if somebody's got the kingdom within them, that just listening to the conversation for out of the mouth proceeds all these things that identifies what's in. You see, I can tell you if you got a kingdom principle. I can tell you if you've been divinely inspired with kingdom, divine principles. You'll speak it out of your mouth. And if you don't have that, then you just don't have it. And as long as you're friends with the world and you want to worship and dilly-dabble around with the world and you can't completely pull your hands away from the tar baby of tradition. Oh, man. It sticks out like a sore thumb because like in Luke again, 17:20, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, there's going to come a day that transformation of that kingdom within you will be changed. And it will no longer be, you'll no longer be a stranger and pilgrim here. Did you know that man was created for the earth? And earth was created for man? Just like man was created for the Sabbath and Sabbath was created for man? Did you know that they are interchangeably linked together when the process of time? Now, right now, we're on a carnal time. Right now, we're in a carnal world. And that's not the kingdom of heaven. That don't have anything to do with you. And for spiritual people who know his word, listen to me in John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Uh-oh. Well, did they keep a new moon, Pastor Buddy, in the house of Israel? Yes, they did. When did they do away with it? Well, it's not been done away with. This has been changed by the sly, cunning craftiness of your enemy, Satan, and his people that have transformed themselves into angels of light. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, the Father, is Spirit, and the Son, transformed, will come to you. We will come to Him and make our home with Him. Oh, my. That's kingdom. I've got a kingdom home in me. One of these days, that kingdom is going to manifest into the earth from ages past, where my name was on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. Glory, I feel the Holy Spirit. Oh my, I can't wait for the kingdom. I can't wait for the transformation. I can't wait until the wicked are ashes under the feet of the righteous, and you'll go forth through the land, and there will not be one Canaanite. There will not be one transgressor. There will not be one Sabbath breaker. And according to Isaiah 66:22, 23, and 24, there won't be one Saturday keeper in the whole bunch. I hate to say that. Now, such were some of you. If you transform, if you get the truth, if you come out of darkness, if you want to get into the truth, prove all things. Be steadfast, unmovable, pressing toward the mark, and they that put their hands to the plow and they look back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. You're going to be a reject. You're going to be ashes under the feet of them that are fit for the kingdom. You're going to be ashes under the feet of them that have purpose in their heart to let nothing turn them around. Keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. I know those that say they love him with their mouth and try to climb up some other way, they're nothing but thieves and robbers. They steal the true day away and hide it and change it to the traditional day because it conforms to Babylon. Babylon lets you off on Saturday. Babylon will let you off on Sunday, but you go to them and ask them if you can get off because you keep a lunar and see what they tell you. There's where the rubber meets the road. There's where the conviction began. There's when the hatred, listen to this now, abide in me. John 15:4-6. St. John 15:4-6. Abide in me. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branch. If he kept the lunar Sabbath, don't you think you ought to? If he kept Yahweh's times, if he kept Yahweh's covenant, if he revealed to you the true name, if he got baptized in the true name, if all of the others got baptized in the true name, don't you think you ought to? And the name Jesus is not even 600 years old, and you tell me that's the name that they wrote in the New Testament? Yes, that's the name they put in there. But have you never read in Matthew 21:42 that they would reject the true name and put a substitute name in? Don't you know the Bible says they have a name that they live by, but they're dead? Don't you know that the saints that stood on Mount Zion, the kingdom come, thy will be done. Don't you know that those saints that stood there in Revelation 14:1 had the Father's name in their forehead? Pray tell me, if you know that you've come out of darkness, just tell me, what is the Father's name? Well, you say Jesus. We can't read it. You say, okay, I've got it. Jehovah. You know, there's one thing you can get me stirred up in, and that's a bunch of false Jehovah Witnesses out of running up and down from house to house, and with our silly women, with their little satchels from the Kingdom Hall, and a little dried up measly preacher that runs around tags around behind them, advocating the Kingdom Hall principle. Ladies and gentlemen, the name of Jehovah is false. There's nothing to the name of Jehovah. It's erroneous, and they all know it. You should know it, and I'm man enough to tell you that his name is not Jesus. His name is not Jehovah. His name is above every name. The heavenly kingdom is reigning right now in my heart. I'm hoping one of these days, if I'm man enough to take the heat, I can stay in the kingdom kitchen and I can eat and drink, because if I don't, I cannot bring forth fruit if I do not abide in the vine. But if I do, then it bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered and goes under the feet of the righteous. That's in John 15:4-6. Oh my! Hallelujah! I say unto you, unless you are born from above, not again, an error in translation, ladies and gentlemen, check your Greek. Unless you are born from above, you're not his branch. You're not his tree. You're not his seed. You can get the kingdom off your mind. I say unto you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. John 3:3-6. Now, look, this mighty man, John the Immerser, come preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 3:1-2. Now, why was he preaching that the kingdom was at hand if the kingdom hadn't been set up? Well, he didn't say it was set up. He said it was at hand. And when he recognized the Messiah, the shepherd, that is prophesied in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verse 15. Ladies and gentlemen, he said, enter in to the straight and the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by the broad way, because narrow is the gate and it's difficult. It is difficult to find the way which leads to life, and a few are those privileged to come out of darkness to find it, according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I beg you to decide right now that in Luke chapter 12, verse 31 and 32, listen to the scripture, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock. There he is, the shepherd, calling the little flock. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there were people that came to him, and he told them, you ain't my sheep. You can't hear my word. Therefore, you can't enter in. You say, oh, buddy, everybody can be saved. But ain't what the Messiah said. When these people came to him, he said, you ain't my sheep. When they came to John for baptism, he said, you generation of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know what that wrath was? Total annihilation. Total destruction for those who are not his sheep. Seek the kingdom of God. These things shall be added unto you, dear little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, 31, 32. Listen to this now. Matthew 24, 14. I've quoted it to you the other night. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all of the nations. And then the end will come. Now I want to ask you, when he talks about the end of what? The end of his kingdom? Oh no, that's the beginning. He's talking about the end of Babylon, the end of man's kingdom, the end of carnal rule, the end of rebellion, the end of sin, the end of rejection, the end of persecution, the end of those things that they evilly entreat you, and then begins the vengeance. He's coming back in wrath. Oh my, Satan's coming peacefully, the Bible said, but did you know that the Bible says that Satan is coming with a vengeance? What's he coming for, Pastor Buddy? Well, the Bible says that, well, he's coming in peace. Satan's coming in peace. But Yahweh's coming in vengeance. Yahweh is coming in flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not the gospel. In other words, in darkness. Know not the gospel and will not obey the scriptures. Listen to it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Matthew 7:13. Enter by the straight gate. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you won't hear this on your regular gospel hour on television. You won't hear it many times. I've listened to a lot of shortwave radio. There's not many preachers like myself that have got the intestinal fortitude to bring the light over the veil of darkness that's been hung upon this world. Because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, with the truth comes persecution. With the truth comes rejection. I'm rejected of all the denominational churches. None of them will accept. The Baptist won't have me. Oh, my, I'm so sad. The Methodist won't have me. Oh, dear me. The Pentecostals won't have me. Oh, they shake and rattle and roll. But when I walk in their churches with a gospel under my arm, with the opportunity to testify and preach the truth, it cuts out even the Pentecostal Christian out. When you talk about something that you want to expose a Pentecostal spirit in its true form, there's some good people in the Pentecostal church. There's some good people in the Baptist church. There's some good people in the the Methodist Church. I'm not speaking as an individual and trying to group all of them into. There's good people with good intentions in all denominations. They mean good. They're lied to by the lying priests that are mentioned in the 23rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Woe unto you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom against man. Instead of opening it with light, they close it in darkness. Instead of preaching the truth, they preach the error of the wicked and the tradition of man, something that seems right. And the world eats it up. The world loves its own. But again, the Bible said to be in love with the world is to be in enmity against Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the final verdict here. I'm here to persuade you. I'm here to give you the scriptures. I'm here to press toward the mark. As it said, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man, for you neither go in yourself. See, they aren't going in. And nor would they allow you who would go in, if they had the truth, to enter. Matthew 23:13. Read it for yourself. Well, listen to this. Oh, now, Pastor Buddy, you know I'm right. Our preacher boy, he's good. Oh, my heavens, I just get such a blessing. He just gives me chills and spills, and every time I go, I just get them little old creepy things are crawling all over me, and he's such a good-looking fella, and oh, you know, and his daddy was a good preacher, and his mother's a good... Hey, listen. There's no demand in the kingdom of heaven for good people. Hell is paid with good intentions of good intending people to keep the traditions of man. But did you know that Elijah, that they hated him so much that they actually literally cut his head off for telling them the truth? Did you know that they despised the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body, that they literally despised him because he told them the truth and they don't want the truth, they hate the truth, they hate the light, they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil and ruin to them, and they shut up the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven against man, for they neither go in themselves nor would they allow those to enter, because they themselves are deceived and they're deceiving those that are deceived. Now, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Or again, let me repeat that. Search the scriptures. If you want to get into the kingdom, search the scriptures. Study. Oh, we've got men and women. I'm so thankful. Oh man, how they study. Man, they try me, they call me up and they take me to task. They want to know. They want to make their election and calling sure. They want to cover all aspects and all phases. They don't want to leave one stone unturned. And they want to know the truth. And once they have got on the trail of the truth, they're just like good spiritual bloodhounds. They will not quit searching until they search the scriptures and until they are assured that they got eternal life. And those who are not willing to come to me, that will not search the scriptures, and those have a way that seems right, for he said, you have rejected me, I will reject you, as the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those that were invited to the wedding. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that I'm inviting you to a wedding? I'm inviting you to Yahweh's wedding supper with his bride. And according to the Gospel of Mark 12:29. Listen to me. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. He made a marriage and he bid them, but listen, they were not willing to come. I'm asking you to come to the kingdom. I'm asking you to come to the wedding supper. I'm asking you to come to to the coming kingdom that's coming to be set up on earth. But he said they would not come. And again, he sent out other servants. Tell those who were invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it, and with their ways, they made sport, they made light. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that preachers of my category are not popular? Did you know that we're hated for his name? Did you know that we bring just a little bit too much light into the subject, and it makes these preachers of that wants to keep everything covered up and hid from their people, it makes them uncomfortable. And so then, now, we're going to call the law on you, Mr. Johnson, because you come in here and you're disturbing our church service. Oh, really? What have I done? Well, you got in the Bible and you read things that we don't believe. Oh, really? Yeah. Yeah, you got in that Bible and you just picked out things you wanted. Matter of fact, the things that you're picking out, I've never read them in there. I want them to actually tell me that things that I'm reading out of the Bible, and I've literally picked up other people's Bible that's laying on the stand and read out of it, and people would get them and say, we don't believe that here. I said, wait a minute. You don't believe what? We don't believe what you just said. So I said, well, whose Bible is this up here? And I hold it up, and it happened to be the very person that said he didn't believe what I was reading. I said, well, it's your Bible. Because I turned over the front and had somebody's name and didn't know who it was myself. And it happened to be him. And boy, you talk about him. You could have lit a cigarette if you smoked. You could have lit a cigarette off his face. It turned red. But at least he's an Israelite. Praise Yahweh. But my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their way. And notice, in Matthew 19:23-24, let me quote it. The Messiah, Yahweh Shua in the flesh body, said to his disciples, how hardly will it be that a rich man will enter the kingdom of heaven? Now, what do you mean by that? Are you rich enough that you don't want no more truth? Are you content to go to these bell boxes and just lay in and sleep and let them tickle your ears and give you a little warm, fuzzy navel feeling? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're so darn lazy that you can't search the scriptures and you wouldn't know truth if it hit you broadsided, I'm telling you, you talk about trifling, you talk about sorry, you talk about low down, you talk about ignorant and unlearned. My people are destroyed. My people. I ain't talking about the devil's people. They're already destroyed. They just don't know it. I'm talking about people of Yahweh. My people, which are called by my name, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I'll tell you, it's going to be hardly that a rich person that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I'm saying to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, Matthew 19:23-24. Read it for yourself. Listen, heaven's going to be cheap at any price, and it's going to take more than a lot of you are putting out to make it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've always been sincere. I've always been about my Father's business. I've always fasted. I've always prayed. I've always been sincere. I've always been zealous. I've always pressed toward the mark in a high calling. And yet, in all that, I still feel unworthy. After you've done all you can do, remember this. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, for many are called, but few are chosen. Do you not know that the unrighteousness of the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Fornicators. What's fornicators? Oh, that's sex between two unmarried couples. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ridiculous. Did you know that Esau was a fornicator? You know what a fornicator somebody that adulterates their blood. Did you know that it was grievous in Isaac and Rebekah's sight because old Esau went out and married a Canaanite? And he was called a fornicator? And you think it's sex between two unmarried people? Oh my. No wonder his people are destroyed for the lack of love. So how about idolaters? Worshiping gods of idols of the figment of the imagination, the creation of these idols that these idolaters worship. The false gods. We got them in the New Testament age. We got them here in our land. Nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You want to get in the kingdom? Get real. Clean up. Turn from your wicked ways. For such were some of you, but now you are washed. How are you washed? In what name were you washed in? Well, I was baptized, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that's buddy, and I go up here to the First Baptist. That ain't good enough. You gotta be baptized in the name of the Father, not saying Father, but in the name of the Father. Pray tell me if you've got enough knowledge, how you gonna get in? If you don't know the Father's name. If that Father's name is not in your forehead, according to Revelations 22:4. And 21:15. And Revelations 14:1. You gotta have it, ladies and gentlemen. And to get there, you gotta pay the price to wear the crown. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery? Idolatry? What's idolatry, Pastor Ben? Oh, that's when a man goes out on his wife. Well, David had 600. Which one did he commit adultery with? Solomon had 700 and 300 concubines. Which one? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got so far out of the customs of the Bible that we're so ignorant and unlearned that we're so addicted to this tradition and this foolishness. Murderers. You say, well, you know, you can't kill nobody and take somebody. It don't speak against killing. It speaks against murder. You have a justification to kill. Moses killed. David killed. Samson killed. Joab killed. Joshua killed. These men were righteous. And you're telling me that you can't kill nobody and get to heaven? You can't murder nobody? Now, what's murder mean? That's against Yahweh's law to murder your brother or your sister, to murder their influence, to take something that you can't give back is their life. You're not supposed to do that. But you are justified to kill everything that's not like Yahweh so that you can inherit the kingdom of God according to Galatians chapter 5 verse 9. Remember that these people that do all these things are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So it's rightly divided. The word rightly divided. Find out what adultery means. Find out what fornication means. Get the true meaning of it, and you'll quit adulterating your blood. You'll quit going to churches that support adultery blood and mixing of the blood between the races. You'll come out of that. You'll condemn it. You'll say it's wrong. You never was right. It never will be, because Yahweh set the boundaries in Acts chapter 17, and these races are not supposed to cross over and mix their blood, because Yahweh, when he made the different races, he said it was good. When it mixed, that destroys both of those races that mix. And that's what we got going on today. We got a total destruction. And Yahweh said, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I say unto you that the tax collectors, the harlots, they will enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when they believed him, they repented and got baptized. Such were some of you, but now you're washed. But when you saw it, you did not afterward repent and believe him. And that's in Matthew chapter 21, verse 31. Ladies and gentlemen, it's based on performance. You can be a sinner, but you can be saved if you will accept the plan of salvation. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. You make up your mind to what you're going to do with Yahweh. I'm going to give you the model prayer in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Our Father, get that, our Father. We don't have a God, we don't have a Lord, we've got a Father. Well, if we've got a Father, what's his name? That means he's got a family. That means he don't have many families, he don't commit adultery. He don't go out here and miscegenate his blood. You don't go out here and mix it with the other races. Yahweh's got a family. Now, what was Jacob? Well, he was a blushing Israelite. What was David? He was a blushing Israelite. What was Samuel? He was a blushing Israelite. What was the Messiah? He was a blushing Israelite. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father? Now, was he talking about the name of Father, or was he talking about the name of the Father? Well, obviously, he wasn't talking about Father. That's a title. Because he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, he didn't tell the name there. But with your study, with your search, with your contending to enter the kingdom, and before you ever enter, you will have to have his name, the knowledge of his name, and it implanted in your forehead by some good old-fashioned preacher that'll put you down in some old muddy Jordan here in America. I ain't anxious to run you over to the Jordan River on some grand Christian tour where they promise you get to see where Jesus walked. Jesus never did walk over there because he's a fictitious character. He wasn't even in the land of milk and honey. There was another man by the name of Yahweh. He was there. He was the shepherd. He was the king. He came. He was rejected and killed. And then the false church put a false name in there to deceive you. So you better get the message here on the first line of the model prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Not the world kingdom. Not, oh, I just love it on the earth. I just love to go to church. I just love to go to the ball games. And I just love to support our favorite team. You see, ladies and gentlemen, be a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. He said, I don't pray for the world. And then you come along with a scripture that says, God so loved the world. I don't think so. If he told you not to love the world, and he turned around and loved it, he's doing something he told you not to do, and so he would be a divided mind, and a divided house won't stand. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of heaven is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And it will be a kingdom of eternal life. It'll be a kingdom of eternal joy. It'll be a kingdom of eternal bliss and pleasure. And the eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man what Yahweh has laid up for you that love and serve him. Therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of Yahweh. Romans 14, verse 16. You have not received the power of the world. You have not received the spirit of the world. But you have received the power when the Holy Ruach, or the Spirit, comes upon you. be witness unto me and Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the end of the earth, according to Acts 1 and 8. And Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 19, and John answered, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you, more than to God you judge. For we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard. And Peter and the others said, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers has raised up the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, whom you murdered by hanging him on a tree. Him, God, the Eternal Spirit, has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things and to those of the Holy Spirit, whom Yahweh has given to those that obey him. Acts 5:29. Again, as closing, as I've got to close, my time is coming on, ladies and gentlemen. And the Messiah said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom, although it's here in our spirit, it's here in our conscience, it's here in our physical bodies, it's not of this world. So that I should not be delivered up to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate said to him then, are you a king? And the Messiah answered, you say right, for I am a king, and for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice and will obey my plan. John 18:36-37. I gotta close. Oh my, how time has flown. You listen to Pastor Buddy live tonight on The Shepherd's Call on WWRB 3.185 around the world on the Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South. And what a joy it is to be in here with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to have this information that I've got tonight, if you'd like to have this series on the kingdom and the difference that the kingdom represents on earth and in heaven, and where it's actual, when its features and its coming is coming into effect. Yes, right, Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. Give me a radio check. I'd love to hear from you. Call me up on area code 423-626-2172. And by doing so, you'll get right in here to the studio where I'm broadcasting live tonight here on The Shepherd's Call on WWRB. And we'll be in simulcast, are streamed around the world with a marvel of technology. The electronic angels are out tonight spreading the word through the marvels of communication. And we thank our sponsor, WWRB, Brother Dave, and all the generous staff down there. Very kind, very patient, very understanding, very lenient. They don't judge my gospel. I don't judge theirs. Everybody's got a right to preach their convictions on the radio as long as they stay decent and in the Word. And we appreciate that very much for those who would suffer with this hard saying. And sometimes we might get on your toes. We don't want to walk on your toes as much as we want to get into that heart. And we want to open it up and give you the keys to the kingdom and hope that you will receive it. The same one that went away will come again in like manner, and that day's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting near. Be you also ready, for you know not in what hour. We're also having our messages put up right now, even to this day. Our messages are being posted on our website, www.oneyahweh.com. That's all you got to do. Go to oneyahweh.com. You'll find our messages Brother Bob will have this message tonight posted sometime for you in the next day or two. Goes up very fast. And you can listen to this message along with last Wednesday night's message. You can listen to Monday night's message, which was on joy. This one that we did Wednesday night was on part one of the kingdom. Tonight you've got part two. We don't know what we'll do come Monday when we'll see you again at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time around the world live on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy on WWRB. It's the premiere. It's the Cadillac. It's the Rolls Royce of shortwave. And one man owns all this magnificent, powerful station, and he's very dedicated to the gospel. He wants you to hear the truth. He wants you to hear the issues. He wants you to hear the both sides. You know, an elephant's a big creature, and you need to see both sides of the elephant here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're showing you the other side of the elephant here tonight, and it's concerning the kingdom of heaven. If you'd like to get into it, keep through your name, Holy Father, those you have given me, that they may be one as we are, John 17:11, and I'm going to have to say good night to you, ladies and gentlemen, as our time is slowly melting away. We've got a couple of minutes here just to give you our parting song. Miss Linda cues up for me on every message that we do. We try to get this one in for you. It's a beautiful song, and I do believe that Yahweh loves you. I believe that the time is here for you to receive it, and I believe that Yahweh will give you a blessing if you'll come in. I love Yahweh. I hope you do too. I'll see you Monday night live on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, WWRB. Yahweh bless you.